The debate over casinos and slots here comes as many parts of the gambling industry are struggling in the economic downturn. And as WBUR's Adam Raguzia reports, no one is sure how long the slump will continue.
Bill Thompson is a professor of public administration at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, which, as you might imagine, is probably the world center for the academic study of gambling. I asked him the big question.
Generally speaking, how's the industry doing right now?
Poor. One word. Poorly. Poorly.
The gaming industry in Thompson's backyard is off 30% from its 2008 peak. Outside of Vegas, a quarter of the casinos in Atlantic City are in bankruptcy. As for our neck of the woods...
Of course, you know that Foxwoods isn't doing very well, and Foxwoods is the premier casino in the world, the largest in the world. Boy, if they're not doing well, something's wrong.
Revenue at the Connecticut Giant is down about 20%. In the fall, 700 people got the axe. But the trend has been different among the smaller slot parlors and racinos, according to Clyde Barrow.
They had bloodied up four states.
You know, Texas Ranger, you ain't hardly doing your job.
No, not that Clyde Barrow. I'm talking about the Clyde Barrow from UMass Dartmouth, who's been quoted in every other gambling story since Deval Patrick got elected. Anyway, he was saying...
Actually, the racinos have done better across the East Coast than the resort casinos have.
I should say right here that Barrow has been criticized by some for taking industry money for his research. But what he says is our recession-era tendency to look for kicks closer to home has actually been a boon to so-called convenience gambling, small parlors like the ones in Maine and Rhode Island.
To give you an example, revenues at Twin River, despite their financial problems, have actually continued to go up right through the recession. The same is true of Hollywood Slots in Bangor, Maine.
Barrow says that's one reason why Speaker DeLeo is pushing racinos.
I'm going to propose a limited number of slots at our four racing venues.
And here's the other reason.
I see locations that have a history of wagering as providing a more immediate form of revenue.
What the racetrack casinos hold out is the opportunity to collect some licensing fees right up front, as well as some actual slot machine tax revenue. I mean, they're already licensed gambling facilities. Most of them have empty space. You can put slot machines in there in a comparatively short period of time.
This is the grandstand area, and in its day, it was always packed, and you had the full line of tellers.
Manager Karen Roberts stands in a huge empty room looking out at the Raynham dog track. Well, how long has it been empty like this?
Since the 31st of December.
That's when the state ban on greyhound racing went into effect. Today, this 100-acre facility is a ghost town, a vast expanse of darkened chambers broken up with isolated pockets of light, where handfuls of mostly white-haired gamblers huddle around televisions simulcasting races from hundreds of miles away.
Hi, Stanley. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
This is a happy place.
It is a happy
home
place.
Home away from home.
Yeah, it is.
How long have you been coming here?
52 years. I hope they build a nursing home in the infield.
So if the legislation passes, you're looking at a whole floor of slots right here?
Yes, yeah. Between 60 and 90 days, they'd have 1,000 slots that they could have up and running.
1,000?
Yep, and then they're shooting for 2,500, but that would be over a 12-month time. This would probably be a parking lot back here. And
right here where the track is?
You'd right.
Convert into a parking lot?
Correct, yep.
Karen says she'd be sad to see that happen, but...
You know, it's part of the times. You got to keep up with the times.
And she does perk at the prospect of hiring back some of the 400 or so people she had to lay off last year. But even if those jobs come back, University of Nevada professor Bill Thompson says slots at the tracks would probably be a net drag on the Massachusetts economy.
Because the slot machine costs $15,000 that you're shipping out to Nevada. You're losing that just when you buy the machine. And then if the gamblers are just local money, you never make it up.
And remember, small parlors in Maine and Rhode Island owe their relative success right now to the fact that they serve local markets. So Thompson says if only Bay Staters go to the racinos, our overall economy loses money.
Yet at the same time, because the racino makes money, the state will see more tax revenue. So it can be good for the politicians and the budget makers, but bad for the economy.
On the other hand, Speaker DeLeo says that infusion of revenue could be directed into a special fund to foster much-needed blue-collar jobs beyond the gaming industry. For WBUR, I'm Adam Raguzia.